What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Japan Top 10. Hello everyone, this is Andy.
And this is Tassie.
And we are coming to you today with a special cultures episode surrounding the topic of the rise of anti-Asian sentiments in the West and the hashtag Stop Asian Hate movement. So, of course, as many of you know, this episode was originally scheduled to be a One Piece special, but that will be postponed until further notice. We felt that the importance and prescience of this topic was really important to bring up now and share with our listeners, especially because it's a topic that's so close to many of our listenership, as well as many of the people on our staff, on our podcast staff. And so today's episode will be surrounding the information with dealing with the Stop Anti-Asian Hate movement, as well as ways you can contribute and ways that we can hopefully all come together in this really difficult time for a lot of our community. So we hope this episode will help with the healing that the Asian community in the West is going through and will continue to go through over the next couple months. So without further ado, let's get into our episode. Japan Top 10. With the hashtag Stop Asian Hate and hashtag Stand for Asians being used globally to show support and solidarity with the Asian community, this episode, we will be discussing the impact and repercussions of the anti-Asian hate in the West specifically, and ask what needs to be done to prevent racism and harmful stereotypes towards all Asian communities around the world. So I guess jumping into things, as I've mentioned many times already, let's kind of start with the hashtag Stop Asian Hate and hashtag Stand for Asians. So these hashtags are being used globally to show support and solidarity with the Asian community.
The movement began gaining momentum after six Asian women were murdered on March 16th during mass shootings in Atlanta. The shootings took place at a massage parlors across the city.
In recent weeks, celebrities and influencers have spoken out after several disturbing incidents have gone viral on social media.
Yoji Noda of Radwimps tweeted, "I'm proud to be Asian."
And of course, as I'm sure all of you know, this isn't a one-off. Anti-Asian hate crimes, violence, and murders have been happening globally and are still happening, especially since the beginning of the coronavirus pandemic. It's a very difficult subject to jump into.
It's a very difficult subject. As an Asian person myself, I feel like this has, the media coverage in the States has been so delayed with, you know, with like, with broadcasting all these hate crimes. And yeah, it's just, it's so frustrating for me to see these people's stories are not like being showed to the general public and like mainstream media.
No, I definitely agree with that. And some of the incidents even make their way to Japanese news, which is, of course...
Oh, really?
Yeah. There's an incident that we'll talk about later that involving an elderly man who was pushed down and unfortunately passed away from his injuries. And I felt that it was very surprising to me how quickly the Japanese news was in presenting these stories, because it seemed like it took so much, like you were saying, it just takes so much for Western media, especially US media, to pick up on these stories.
Yeah, I'm shaking right now because of like how like frustrated and how devastated I've been seeing these crimes happen, but especially with the crime we're going to be talking about later in the episode, like Asian crimes, hate crimes in general, have been happening for a very, very long time, especially in San Francisco. And honestly, I do not know why it took this long for it to appear in mainstream media. But even so, I feel like not many people still are talking about it now, to be honest. Mm-hmm. Well, that's how I feel. Mm-hmm. But luckily, I'm so happy that like our manager, Jack, has suggested this episode to enlighten people with this subject.
Yes, no, definitely. I'm grateful, as always, to be a part of really important conversations that affect, for you, Tassie, this affects you directly. This is your life. This is your existence, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. And like, also like this type of like situation, I don't know how you feel about this, but especially with like last year with the Black Lives Matter movement, I thought we were going with like the right direction with people talking about things, especially with what Black people were experiencing in the States. I thought that that movement was a movement it opened more conversations with race in general, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought we were just going through the right direction with like being understanding with one another, learning personal boundaries, mm-hmm. being less ignorant mm-hmm. with certain groups. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm just like very disappointed with how people are acting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's really hard too, I think, because I know, especially with like in relationship to Black Lives Matter, I know at earlier this week, in just after the shooting on March 16th, that some people had started using the hashtag hashtag Asian Lives Matter and things like that. And so I know some people, people obviously co-opting a movement and a sentiment that is used for a completely separate community is never the way to go. And I know
yeah,
a lot of...
I don't support that naming at all, because it just takes away the movement for Black Lives Matter.
Right. Yeah. And I know like a lot of people were saying, of course, and I believe mm-hmm. this to be true. Yeah. Like you're just saying, there are ways to support and uphold each other's voices and each other's movements.
Exactly.
And that's why I think it's important and it's very wonderful that the Stop Asian Hate and hashtag Stand for Asian hashtags have started and will hopefully, like you were saying, continue to work in tandem together with the Black Lives Matter movement to open up these dialogues to make the lives of everyone better generally, you know, so that people mm-hmm. are not fearing for their life, just going about their daily business.
How has it been in Japan? Like, have you had like colleagues ask you about what's been happening in the States or?
To be honest, last year during the Black Lives Matter movement, I had many conversations at my workplace about this specifically, but I'm not sure if it's because it's an Asian, it's the Asian community or what it is, but I haven't been asked about this. And even though I mentioned that some of the news stories have picked up, you know, these anti-Asian hate crimes and presented them, there still hasn't been the same kind of dialogue from Japanese, mm-hmm. my Japanese colleagues, at least, about this particular movement and this particular support for other Asian communities as there was about, like, the interest or curiosity about what was happening with Black Lives Matter.
Interesting. Yeah, my friends and family in Thailand have been very surprised with my posts on Instagram, because I've been very vocal with this. I've been vocal since Black Lives Matter as well. And yeah, it's like, it's kind of difficult to explain how race issues in America is to people who are not living in America, because there's so much social injustices with, like, how America was built mm-hmm. in the beginning mm-hmm. with the whole white supremacy. But I do hope that, like, our audience does take the time to do their own research, because, like, even this episode now, there's so much things to talk about that we can't fit in to the episode, but, like, it's a good read, like, a good history lesson to all of you listeners to learn about the foundations of how America, you know, built up into the America we know today.
No, exactly. And that is a really important point, because I think it's really good that with things like hashtags or on Instagram, I know, like, infographics and things gain a lot of popularity. And it's a good way to get your foot in the door about learning about something that is often swept under the rug or presented falsely in schools and things, like, just the mm-hmm. history, because it's not a new thing, right? Like, exactly what you're saying. It's not a new idea that non-white people are suffering under white supremacy in America. It's been happening, mm-hmm. and it's a part of the history. And so I think it's really good that there's a lot of visibility with hashtags and really well-designed infographics and things like mm-hmm. that. But it, for a lot of people, it stops there, and it can't stop there. It has to continue. So I would also ask our listeners, if they're able to and they have the resources to, you know, do some of their own searching about these topics.
Before we move on to our next topic, let's do a small music break. And the song we'll be presenting is by Cold Rain, and that song is The Side Effects.
One step forward, two steps backwards, saving culture, killing art. You want borders, we just want a bridge. This is modern warfare, freedom in a ditch. Would you ever bother listening? Made in the land of the rising sun. Ticket in the rain, proving who we are. Still on the fire for the things we love. Hey, we are the side of this. A product of love, a product of faith. We are the side of this.
Cold Rain is a Japanese rock band from Nagoya who were formed in 2007.
The title track of Cold Rain's sixth album was The Side Effects, actually.
The Side Effects is the second Cold Rain album to be released by Warner Music Japan, the first being Fateless.
This was actually my first introduction to Cold Rain.
Me too! <Yeah. laughs> I've heard so many things about them, but like, I never took the time to listen to them. I feel kind of ashamed saying that, especially that we're in J-Top.
I know, like, I feel probably all of our listeners who have been listening for a while and have listened to any of my episodes, I think I bring this up all the time, but I learn so much. From our
exactly,
episodes.
Me too.
So
guilty as charged.
Yeah, exactly. So thank you again for introducing that track. Yes, that was Cold Rain with The Side Effects, and I hope you all enjoyed that as much as we did. Okay, so as we had mentioned, these issues do not simply start or begin, you know, anywhere, but they have definitely been exacerbated by our current global pandemic, and a recent study from the Center for the Study of Hate and Extremism at California State University, San Bernardino, found that while overall rates of hate crimes in the country decreased by 7% in 2020, anti-Asian hate crimes surged by 149%. That literally, like, gave me chills reading out loud.
Yeah. I'm in a disbelief right now. Mm. Recent anti-Asian hate crimes are often linked to rhetoric that blames Asian people for the spread of COVID-19.
And honestly, this is something, just to pause in this little segment, but this is something that even I had heard towards the beginning of COVID-19 here in Japan as well.
Okay.
Of course, there's a much different relationship to hate crimes and hate speech here in Japan than there is in the West, but I know a lot of people were upset or getting upset that the virus originated or seemed to originate in China, right? And the very famous Chinatown in Yokohama, a lot of people had been sending anonymous hate letters. And
I had no idea.
Ugh. Yeah, so
that's especially with the former president of the United States, Donald Trump. Yeah, with his take on the COVID-19 spread, with his infamous nickname called the Kung Flu virus and the China virus. Ooh,
yeah,
that caused even more of a uproar in racism, so especially towards the Chinese community and Asian community.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Personally, I've also experienced something along the lines of that. And for me, I remember this was like in the beginning of the pandemic, so around March 2020. I had to do some errands to go to the bank for my parents, and I was all decked out in protective gear, face mask, gloves, had a small little like keychain for like hand sanitizer too hanging off of my, it's like a total nerd, but anyways, so I was minding my own business, waiting in line 6 feet apart, and while I was following the line, this man in front of me was saying, "You're too close to me." And at first, like, I don't want to like be all like sensitive or anything like that. And I was like, maybe I was too close, like, because I was like on my phone and everything like that. And then, but I looked and I'm like, I'm like literally on a marker on the floor. And I'm like, okay, so the man went super close to a woman in front of him who wasn't Asian at all. And I was like, oh, I get it. This is because I'm Asian. Mm-hmm. I get it now. So I looked at him and I was like, sure, okay, I understand, sir. So I ended up staying at my position and waited for him to like move forward closer and closer to that woman. And so there was like a huge gap that was more than 6 feet away from me. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, let's let everyone see what this man did to me. Oh, so I'm just gonna look at him. Yeah. And, or like other instances, this is always at the bank for some reason.
Oh no.
But I have like allergies, mm-hmm, in general, like with just being in the sun, I just like sneeze really randomly. Mm-hmm. So I sneezed and I had a mask and everything. I directed my face to my arm so nobody gets alarmed or anything like that. And literally everyone around me just looks at me like I was the plague or anything like that. Mm. I was like, hey everybody, and I have allergies. I'm fine, okay? I'm not sick. And everyone literally moved away from me and I was like, okay. Got it.
Yeah, wow. I mean, mm-hmm, even, yeah, just the fact that you feel the need that you have to explain yourself or, you know, make an excuse just for existing in a space when other people are clearly acting out of prejudice or out of some really misguided idea, right? Just about how you present as a person.
Yeah.
Ugh, gosh.
Yeah, and like you were saying earlier with Yokohama or Tokyo's version of Chinatown. Mm-hmm. Also in Chinatown in Los Angeles where I live, during the pandemic, it was literally ghost town when I went to visit. And I'm so used to going to Chinatown and seeing like the hustle and bustle of like not just Chinese people but like just multicultural, like seeing tourists and mm-hmm, and locals interact with each other, and it was just like, whoa, mm-hmm, nobody is here and nobody is like buying anything, like especially seeing Chinese restaurants in LA, like, mm-hmm, no, I didn't see anybody buy takeout. It was just literally ghost town. And then like even the beloved Chinese restaurants that I've ate as a child, they started closing down because everyone's fear of the so-called Kung Flu virus. And I was just like, man, like so many mom and pop places who've been there for generations are now gone because nobody's supporting them anymore. And it's just so crazy.
Yeah, that it's so sad. I think that's like, it's, of course, I know we'll talk more about kind of more person to person crime, hate crimes and things, but that is such a big, what I want to say, a big effect as well, like you're saying, just people avoiding vaguely Asian related places out of this, you know, mm-hmm, misguided fear or something. And then of course the people who suffer from that are, you know, the Asian people and people who own those businesses that, yeah, just have to shutter because of this misguided hate.
Yeah, and it's just like, and it's so funny, like, I don't know how it is in the other cities in the U.S., but especially in L.A., where we have Hollywood and, like, and whatnot, but a lot of the virus was spread was not because of Asian people, but it was because the lack of discipline of people not following the rules of wearing a face mask or them gathering with large groups of people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just like, it's interesting how like we put a stress towards protecting yourself and your community, but instead scapegoating it to a group of people. And then it's crazy.
Yeah, it's sadly the unfortunate reality that so many communities have lived in the past year. And I mean, even just to bring up a couple more statistics about, you know, mm-hmm, the hate crimes and things. This is a study done by the Pew Research, and it says that 40% of U.S. adults believe it has, quote, become more common for people to express racist views towards Asian people since the pandemic began, unquote. And I think mm-hmm. we see that. I mean, like in your example, like your actual experience, people sometimes maybe don't verbally say things, but their actions can speak just as loud, if not worse, than what they're saying too. So like on top of verbal abuse, like nonverbal communication of like distancing themselves and things like that, it's, I think that statistic is absolutely true.
Yeah. Another statistic that we have from the Asian American Pacific Islander Hate National Report, in March 19, 2020 to February 28, 2021, has received a staggering 3,795 reports of anti-Asian hate crimes.
And yeah, of course, that ranges from everything from being spat on or verbally harassed to more violent physical assault. And there have been thousands of reported cases in the recent months alone. I just wanted to say, we're going to talk a little bit about some pretty violent crimes. So if you are uncomfortable with hearing this, I just wanted to say a small warning that you should skip ahead, because we will just briefly touch on some of these crimes just to illuminate how serious these hate crimes have become for the safety of the many people in the Asian community.
Okay, so earlier we talked a little bit about this case, but the first hate crime we would like to talk about is an 84-year-old Thai immigrant in San Francisco, California, died last month after being violently shoved to the ground during his morning walk.
As I had mentioned, that story, as well as another story of an elderly person in Oakland, California, a 91-year-old, was also shoved to the pavement from behind. Those two stories actually got covered here in Japan as well. During the news segment, a lot of the newscasters talked about how surprising and shocking this was for them to see.
Yeah, it was so surprising, especially in the first attack that about the Thai immigrant, especially for my community. I'm Thai American. And so when we heard of that, we were like, ooh, what? And it's, you don't really hear much about Southeast Asian victims or Thai victims in general. So like everyone in the Thai community worldwide, I would say, we were so concerned for his family. And we in the Thai culture, we call our elders uncle or grandpa. In this case, he was a grandpa. So yeah, I believe this happened maybe 2 months before it became super big in mainstream media.
And just like you were saying earlier, just it takes so long for people to even recognize that these hate crimes are going on.
Usually when a crime like this happens in the States, many victims' families don't really see this in the news whatsoever. And what we've been raised was to always be silent in the situation, because speaking out usually shows vulnerability. It shows whininess, or lastly, many people just give up voicing their concerns, their anger, their sadness, because we've been usually like, the Asian community isn't really heard as much. And especially with the whole model minority model that Asians have been labeled for a very long time, this makes our case even more harder to voice out because of this label as well.
Yeah. No, and I think I know, well, we will talk a little bit more in depth in just in our next section about, like you're saying, the model minority and how much more difficult that has made fighting against these stereotypes and hate crimes has been, like, exactly what you were saying. There's a lot of people, in light of the recent shootings and rise in public knowledge of the hate crimes, that have spoken up about this specifically, and I think it's really important for us to talk about. But yeah, I can only imagine, especially how difficult it is when you're saying, like, just the global impact of seeing specifically a Thai immigrant facing this kind of violence, and the fact that that is coming to light, it can send so much shockwave through the community.
Yeah. There's another one that shocked me while I was reading this script. It was the one with an 89-year-old Chinese woman was slapped and set on fire by two people in Brooklyn, New York. I haven't heard of that one.
I also had not heard of that one either. And yeah, same thing as you said, just the escalation of crimes, being set on fire, that's horrific. It is absolutely
oh my goodness,
horrifying.
The shooting with the six Asian women, that crime from March 12th. Oh my goodness, that I was honestly speechless, especially with law enforcement with saying or trying to label the gunman, the murderer, as someone vulnerable to having a sex addiction by saying he was having a bad day. Ooh.
Yeah.
I was so shocked when I heard that.
It's, and I mean, again, this is something that I think that has come up continually since the more public awareness of Black Lives Matter as a movement, to just even the police officers are not people you can trust because they're looking to, you know, protect these murderers and things a lot of the times, whether they acknowledge that or not. It does, like when you're saying, oh, he's vulnerable, but why he needs to be held accountable. And
yeah, and especially with saying, like, the murderer or the gunman had a sex addiction, that alone perpetuates the stereotype that all Asian massage parlors act in sexual acts. Like, and especially it also perpetuates the idea of Asian women being vulnerable, being subservient. It's just shocking that, like, even law enforcement are contributing to a stereotype that shouldn't be highlighted whatsoever.
Yeah. I mean, we could talk on and on about the different, yeah, of course, the lasting effects. And I think I know we will discuss a little bit more about that, specifically these stereotypes and how that has greatly affected, or, you know, made the rates and the severity of hate crimes against the Asian American and Asian community in America worse. But yeah, I just wanted to, you know, quickly just put a little pin in this point and say, like, of course, there's so many different assaults and physical and verbal and hate crimes happening towards the Asian community currently. And so I just wanted to say, be careful, of course, first of all, everyone, as much as you can, but not even just that, but it has become such a widespread problem that in interviews with the New York Times over 1 week in March 2020, nearly two dozen Asian Americans across the United States said they were afraid to go grocery shopping, to travel alone on subways or buses, or to let their children go outside. So these attacks have real world consequences. And you know, allowing them to continue and allowing the people in charge, like the police and things, to control the narrative like this is going to only further how dangerous this situation is for Asian Americans, you know?
Mm-hmm. I just hope that, like, the audience or the listeners gets out of this is that you have a voice, no matter how small you feel in this world, your voice matters. And especially with these hate crimes happening, you can use your voice to educate others who doesn't even know about this social issue. And being silent is truly something that is deadly in humanity, especially for social issues.
Absolutely. So, I think we will take another short music break, if that's okay. I think we can regroup and, you know, talk about some of the, not only the stereotypes that we discussed, but also ways to make it better, like you're saying, with not staying silent and using your voice. But before we get into that, let's take a small break for our next song featured in this episode, and that would be Lisa with her song Propaganda.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
So, Propaganda was the B-side to Lisa's huge hit and theme to Demon Slayer, Gurenge.
Her 15th single digitally on April 22nd, 2019, and physically on July 3rd, 2019.
Yes, and as of July 2020, Gurenge was certified million by the Recording Industry Association of Japan, RIAJ, for 1 million full track digital music downloads, making it...
Wow!
Yeah, isn't that crazy? Wow, it's...
So crazy.
Our girl Lisa.
The power of anime.
Honestly, you are not wrong with that. Yeah.
But I really do like the song Gurenge. It's a really good song. I'm not much of a Demon Slayer fan,
mm-hmm.
but when I heard this song the first time, I was like, damn, this girl's on fire, like with her other songs.
Ooh. Yeah. Yeah. And I know Lisa is such she does a lot of, you know, anime type songs, anime music. Mm-hmm. And yeah, this one just hits so, so good.
Yeah. This is actually my first time listening to Propaganda. I've always heard Gurenge, but it's very bad of me. I saw the title of this song like months ago, maybe, mm-hmm. and I just never cared to like take a shot to listen to it. But it's really good.
I agree. And I would echo that. I know. Are we just like admitting that we are bad at knowing about Japanese music? Yes, keep that under lock.
No.
Yeah. Oh, no, but Lisa, you did it again with Propaganda, and I hope that this inspires others to listen to some of Lisa's other works as well. Okay, so, yes, I do want to kind of return. I know we had a very good discussion in our lengthy middle section, but a really good and important discussion about, you know, a wide variety of things that have either been exacerbated or made worse by the pandemic, and especially in relation to how it affects you, Tassie. That's one of the most important things I want to also highlight in this episode, mm-hmm. Your experience and what it means for you to, you know, be an Asian woman moving through mm-hmm. the United States and whatnot. So I know that, like, specifically, we were talking earlier about some stereotypes about the model minority and mm-hmm. And other stereotypes that of like the fetishization or sexualization of Asian women in the West as in relation to the shooting in particularly. But before we get into that, I just wanted to read a quick experience from another source. This mm-hmm. is Alex Smith, and she was saying, as a woman who is half Malaysian and Chinese and half white, I have spent my life being exoticized and stereotyped. From being told I'm supposed to be good at maths by a teacher because I'm Asian, being called kawaii by white men on dating apps, called a mail order bride by an ex-boyfriend, groped at clubs because Chinese women are supposedly meek, to being told by a person from the black and minority ethnic community that I have nothing to complain about because I'm a model minority. I think that touches on so much. Is there anything that stuck out to you in that quote?
I've experienced all of that. And yeah, it's funny because I don't know this woman at all, but especially Asian women, they experience something like this all the time. And in a way, I feel kind of like comforted to read another person's experience with this, and that, yeah, I'm not alone. A lot of a lot of women in the Asian community are experiencing this.
No, definitely. I'm so sorry to hear that so much of it has resonated with you. That just shows how widespread of a problem it is.
Okay. I would like to read another person's account, and this person is Masako Fukui in 2018. As a child migrant or generation Japanese Australian, my parents drilled it into me as I was growing up that I was an unofficial Japanese ambassador to Australia, that my behavior would influence how Australians feel about all Japanese. I was a well-behaved child, a quiet achiever at school, and now I'm a highly educated, professional, law-abiding Australian citizen. But being good and quiet and assimilated is making me angry. I'm fed up with never-ending race work I have to do, explaining the differences between Chinese, Japanese, Korean, or suppressing the hysterical eruption in my head whenever I'm asked, "Where do you really come from?" And what pisses me off the most royally is the odd occasion that I have to prove to the editors that I can write native level English. After a lifetime of race-splaining, I'm reaching peak race fatigue, and I'm not the only one. Woo! Oh my goodness. I feel this too. Exactly. And I went to a predominantly white private school when I was a child, and me trying to explain like myself that Asians all do not look the same, and like explaining the foods that I brought from home, getting weird side eyes of like the smell of my mother's cooking was something that always resonated with me as a child. And even with like my parents too, they've always told me to be quiet, do what you need to do, don't cause a scene, and try to represent what it is to be Thai to people around you. And it's like, it was so conflicting because, like, for me, especially being in an environment like that as a child, it was so hard to, like, identify yourself. Especially, and it's so interesting because, like, me as, like, an adult now, yes, I'm American and I'm Thai, but, like, especially when I moved back to Thailand, I wasn't identified as fully Thai because of my upbringing in America. I'm like, who? What am I?
Yeah, it's like you're saying, it's just such an unbelievable pressure. And then you're not even fully, you know, accepted by either the Thai portion of you, or in America, you have to constantly be proving yourself, or if not proving yourself, being the perfect example, you know. That is enough to make anyone break, you know, break down. I think it's an example, like you're saying, of, you know, the model minority myth that is very prominent in the States, that you know, that if you're Asian American or of Asian descent, like, you are going to be, you are smarter, you're better, you're harder working, but you're quiet, and you know, like, there's all of these things rolled into all these expectations right?
And especially now with, like, Crazy Rich Asians, mm-hmm. or the Bling Ring, now that people think that Asians are hella rich, which is not the case.
Yeah. Ooh. And that's a very, very good point. I'll just quickly read, since you brought it up, I'll just quickly read in an NBC News segment, Margaret Cho had said, "Just now we are starting to see more Asian Americans in TV shows, in movies, but on a very peripheral basis. And it's not exactly a stereotype, but we're not all super rich and we're not all crazy rich. It's not all Bling Empire," which I love those shows and movies, but at the same time, it enforces this narrative that we are untouchable and invisible, which is kind of a volatile combination when it comes to violence.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
To be honest, in the beginning when I did see the movie Crazy Rich Asians, I was ecstatic to see, you know, representation mm-hmm. for Asian people on the big screen.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like, the more that happened, I was like, huh, why is there a show called The Bling Ring on Netflix?
Mm.
Is this the only thing we're going to be talking about rich Asian people?
Mm-hmm.
There's so much to the Asian experience. And yeah, it's just really interesting mm-hmm. about that.
Yeah, it's like exactly what you said. I think I saw a tweet, I can't remember the exact statistics, but, you know, a lot of, you know, Southeast Asian or Asian communities in New York are often the most disproportionately poor. Like, they face a lot mm-hmm. of issues with poverty and things and horrible living conditions and whatnot. But that's not, like you said, just based on the media. No one gets the idea that that's the experience, because a lot of people just take for face value what's given to them in the media. Like, oh, crazy rich Asians, that must mean every Asian person I'm interacting with is leading this glamorous life.
This double life. Yeah. I have a, what's it called? A private jet.
Yeah.
flying to Singapore.
Yeah, it's right. I mean, I'm sure some people probably think that. Mm-hmm. And just to touch on too, before we continue on with the rest of the episode, like you had mentioned before too, there's such a horrible combination when it comes to being an Asian woman as well. All of the expectations placed on Asian women and stereotypes about Asian women being, you know, docile or
mm-hmm.
things like this, and how that leads to a lot of not only sexual violence, but excusing in the case of the murders that happened on the 16th, like, it became one of the main excuses.
Yeah. For me, my experience, this happened to me recently.
Mm-hmm.
It was this person who comes up to me asking me, oh, where are you from? And I'm like, oh, I'm from LA. Then I'm like, no, where are you actually from? The classic sentence, right? And I'm like, well, my parents are from Thailand. And when that man heard the word Thailand, the first thing he says, he goes, oh, I heard Thailand is a great place to find cheap women. And I was so flabbergasted hearing that. And I was like, oh, okay. What do you want me to say after that? I know, right? Like, there's so many things you could have talked to me, like, oh, I want to go see your temples. I heard your food is amazing. No. First thing you tell to me is, oh, your women are cheap. Okay, go away from me, please.
Oh my gosh, that is...
I know.
Horrible. I just can't understand the mindset too, especially like even if in your brain, it's still way messed up, but like in your brain that comes in your head. But why would you say that to an Asian woman? Like,
I know, exactly. And then like, and worse comes to worse, he talks about, oh, I also hear that you have to be careful in Thailand because there's a lot of ladyboys, you know, transvestites. And I'm like, oh, excuse me, that's really mean and derogatory saying ladyboys. And even the word transvestite, excuse me. Oh my goodness. It's like, and especially like in Japan too, with like many men, especially also women too, like over sexualizing like hentai, JAV.
Yeah, there's a huge problem with like the association of, you know, people of color and specifically Asian women with, yeah, these, yeah, like you're saying, sex and that whole side of things. It's just horrible. And I know, just to quickly interject too, like the experience here in Japan, since there's some army bases here in Japan, there's a lot of problems with sexual violence against Japanese women and other, you know, Asian women living in Japan. That is just fully accepted and ignored by the U.S. military. And there is a really bad case in Okinawa in 1994 where the U.S. Marines kidnapped and, you know, assaulted, raped.
I heard of that case. Yeah, and it's like, and there's like, I know that locals in Okinawa have animosity towards the U.S. Navy base because of that case that happened.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, I'm sorry to bring it to Japan because I know we're talking about the West, but just to highlight that, you know, it's worldwide and a lot of times still, you know, at the hands of people from the U.S. because for whatever reason, there's this association with this horrific and dehumanizing sexualization of Asian women.
Let's take a break again and listen to 1OK Rock's song, Stand Out, Fit In.
Someone else. Try to color inside their lines. Try to live a life by design. I just wanna be myself. I can be someone else. Someone else. They yell, they preach. I've heard it all before. Yeah.
from album Eye of the Storm 2019, One OK Rocks, 9th studio album.
Standout Fit In was the second single released from that album.
It is about not giving into peer pressure.
The video was directed by Peter Huang, and it portrays peer pressure affecting Asian American youth. He was asked to make a video about the Asian American experience by the band. Vocalist Takahiro Moriuchi wanted to be a positive voice for Asian Americans after moving to the States in 2015.
Oh, Taka moved to the States? I didn't know that.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, which band member? Isn't one of the band members of One Ok Rock married to Avril Lavigne's sister?
Yes. I believe it's the drummer.
The drummer. Okay. So yeah. Never mind. That's also Avril Lavigne is Canadian, so never scratch that. So.
Yeah, I love this song. I actually listened to this song live when they had their American tour in 2019 as well. It was such a treat.
Oh, that's such a lovely experience.
I know. And I also at the time watching the music video of this, yeah, I related a lot from it, and I appreciate the sentiment for this.
Oh yeah, right. It's good. Mm-hmm. It's always good to get those kernels of encouragement from your favorite J-rock stars.
I know. Oh, God. He's so good.
Okay. Well, hopefully we can take some of that wonderful energy about avoiding peer pressure and, you know, let's close out our episode with our last couple of subjects. First, let's talk about what needs to change, and also we'll get into ways that you can take action. So, first, we'll briefly talk about what needs to change. So, I think to start, let's just come with a quote that has been so beautifully prepared for us. It's from Maya Angelou. Prejudice is a burden that confuses the past, threatens the future, and renders the present inaccessible. I think that really greatly sums up what... thank you. No. But honestly, everything that we've talked about up until this point is in that quote, I really feel.
Yeah. Honestly, what needs to change is just education in schools, parents talking to their children at home too.
Mm.
That's what's not acceptable in society.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, honestly, the American school system needs to change a lot.
Yeah, and you said it exactly right at pretty much the beginning of our episode, just about how people are not taught about Asian history or culture or about, you know, America's relationship to Asian Americans and Asian immigrants.
Go in another direction outside of like the topic of, you know, American Asian Americans, like also with like Black history too, like I don't know, like for you when growing up, but we talk about it just a little bit, but like nothing so much. And honestly, what I think is schools should just show the people who helped build America how it is today, as you know. Like, Americans always take pride that the States is a melting pot of cultures, right?
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, that isn't reflected in school curriculums at all. What we usually learn is like, oh, you know, the Europeans colonizing the States, but that's pretty much it. A little bit maybe about like Black slaves and the Civil War and also the civil rights movement, but that's pretty much it, mostly.
Yeah. Yeah, and exactly like you're saying too, it, I hate to be very like, I'm not trying to make a joke, but literally like people are taught in the States a lot of time. It's like, and then the civil rights movement started and racism was done. It's all gone.
Exactly. That's what I learned as well as a child.
Yeah, too. Exactly. Yeah.
And I was like, how does that correlate to like, oh, this, it stops. And then you see all these different hate crimes. It just doesn't make sense. And like, thank goodness that we don't have President Trump anymore as a president. And like, with him on media all the time talking about like, build the wall for Mexico and the lack of support with Black Americans during BLM. Now with like Kung Flu virus, I was like, this isn't really helping anything at all. This just makes us look really, really bad.
Yeah. And that brings up a really good point too, though. Like, of course, school is a big place where, you know, you can start to fight racism and sexism and other ways that people are discriminated against. But at home, there's so much exposure to these things too. I know that the real host, Jeannie Mai, she has a wonderful quote that I'd like to share as well with all of our listeners, and it's, racism is taught, and it may not be your parents sitting you down telling you specifically like, don't trust those Asians, don't be friends with Black people. No, I think it's in every grain of your upbringing, and that is so true.
Exactly.
Yeah, it, like, from the television programs you watch to how your parents talk about things, racism starts at home. And, you know, in order to unlearn those things, as especially speaking as, speaking as a white man, speaking as a white man, you know, it's so important to begin to unlearn racism by knowing how you are privileged in the world, what advantages you get. That is like step number one. Looking at the media you consume, looking at the people around you, your friends, how they talk, holding people accountable that way, that, you know, when you're in mostly white spaces, how are you talking about anti-Asian hate crimes or, you know, anti-Blackness and things? Because that shapes the way you are engaging with racism. And I think it's really important, too, because I'm guilty of this as well. You need to accept the fact that you're going to make mistakes. Like, if you make a mistake and say something.
And that's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine to make mistakes, but learn from those mistakes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Don't lose yourself with your own ego. Even I do that sometimes, too. Sometimes people forget that we have pride, but if you just let down that pride and take the time to learn, oh, you can make a difference now from doing that.
Definitely. And yeah, it's so important. Like, yeah, like pride is one of the biggest things because no one wants to look stupid. No one wants to, you know, feel like they're being put down for something. But it's so important when you have no language or especially no experience, even a like 1/100th of the, you know, pain and the difficulties that someone else has faced just for existing as they are. Yeah, it's just so important to check your pride, check your privilege, and yeah, learn and be able to grow knowing that it's going to be difficult, but people will be there to help you.
Just to close this topic, we would like to recommend you a children's book on fighting anti-Asian racism during COVID-19. And that book is called Young, Proud, and Sungji, published on August 21st, 2020. And this book is, its purpose is to provide an educational resource to help generate meaningful discussions between adults and children about anti-racism.
Yes, that is a very good resource. And I know After our next song, we will have some more resources, but let's take another quick break with our next song in this Cultures episode, and that is Brave Shine by Aimee. So, her name comes from the verb aimer, which is French for to love.
Brave Shine was the eighth single by Aimee, released on June 3rd, 2015.
This was actually written by Aimee under a pen name, Aimee Rhythm, and Hisashi Koyama.
The song was used as the second opening theme of the anime Fate Stay Night, Unlimited Blade Works. Ooh, I love her voice.
Yes. And I was going to say, I forget which episode. I think I had just listened to you and Lydia talk about her voice specifically on one of our last episodes.
Yeah, there's something with like that raspy voice of hers makes it so nice. It makes it so nice to listen to. Like, she really reminds me of Yui, but more raspier, I guess.
That's so true. Actually, now that you say, I've never like made that connection, but now that you say that, that absolutely, that clicks. Yeah, that Yui kind of connection, but like in a, not grungy, but like in a more, yeah, something. It has some oomph on, under it. Anyways, I just wanted to apologize to all of our French listeners and all of our Aimee fans because I absolutely always freeze up when I say her name.
I forgive you.
Thank you so much. And seeking forgiveness, let's talk about how we can take action. No, but seriously, yeah, to close out our episode, we just want to offer some ways that you can take action in your communities and whatnot. And I'll start by talking a little bit about how to be a good ally. So one way is to reach out to your Asian friends and colleagues. But I have two huge, like, be careful points about this is obviously, like, nobody... I think a lot of this came up with the Black Lives Matter visibility last year. Like, people just jumping into their, you know, Black friends' DMs and being like, oh my God, are you okay? Like, let's talk about this. And that is emotionally taxing. Like, I think it's one thing to just, you know, offer like, oh, sending you love or, you know, trying to help that way. But people in these communities are dealing with this already. They know, they are seeing it and they're forced to see it every single day.
Exactly. People are not walking encyclopedias, okay? You don't be lazy and go online and or read books to educate yourself. You don't need to pester your friends to teach you about something, teach you about this, you know?
Exactly. And like you said, yeah, read up on the history, like we were mentioning before, read up on the history of anti-Asian racism and, you know, how far this extends back in U.S. history through news articles. There's many news programs that run segments and documentaries that feature information on the subject. And Netflix's Amend touches on anti-Asian history in its sixth episode as well. And another thing, just like our children's book suggestion, read books by Asian American and Pacific Islander authors or, you know, immigrants of those populations as well, because they have a lot to teach you. You know, you can learn a lot by doing your own reading that way as well.
Yeah. Another thing you could do to be a good ally is report hate incidents.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. So, on that note, I will suggest something here. The National Asian Pacific American Bar Association, a group of 50,000 Asian Pacific American attorneys, judges, law professors, and law students, have created a list of resources that include everything from explaining the difference between a hate crime and a hate incident to detailing ways to report hate crimes to law enforcement. And it's also launched a pro bono hate crimes task force to offer legal resources to those victims.
The Asian American Advancing Justice is organizing bystander intervention training, 1 hour online training to learn about the types of disrespect and dangers that Asian Americans are facing now and throughout history. From microaggressions to violence, understand what to look for in scenarios and positive impacts that bystander intervention has on individuals and communities. Talking through 5 strategies for intervention and how to prioritize your own safety while intervening. Practicing so that participants are confident intervening the next time they witness anti-Asian harassment.
Yes, definitely. And also the group that we mentioned earlier, Stop Asian American Pacific Islander Hate, recommends 5 safety tips that I will share with you if you are witness to an anti-Asian act of racism. So, number 1 is to take action. Go to the targeted person and offer them support. Number 2 is to actively listen before you do anything. Ask and then respect the targeted person's response. If need be, keep an eye on the situation. Number 3, ignore the attacker. Try using your voice, body language, or distractions to de-escalate the situation. use your own judgment in these situations, because having you also come into harm, having two people come into harm,
yeah,
isn't going to help. But if you can help, you know, someone in any way, just use your judgment. Number four is to accompany. Ask the targeted person to leave with you if whatever is going on starts to escalate. And number five is to offer emotional support. Find out how the targeted person is feeling and help them to determine what to do next.
Very good points.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Another thing you could do is to volunteer. On both coasts, community groups have launched initiatives to improve local safety. Compassion in Oakland was created in response to the spike in anti-Asian attacks in the Bay Area, and now offers chaperones for those in Oakland's Chinatown neighborhoods with the goal of protecting elderly Asians.
Yes, and finally, of course, this is a huge one that I will recommend if you are able to. If you're financially able to, please, please, please donate. The Atlanta chapter of Asian Americans Advancing Justice has created a donation page aimed at supporting the victims and their families impacted by the shootings on March 16th.
ActionNetwork.org fundraising/support for Georgia's Asian American community, created to help the victims and their families impacted by the violent acts that took place on Tuesday, March 16th, 2021.
Yes, and New York Mag, published an article that outlined 61 ways to donate in support of Asian communities in light of the events. And I recommend you seek out one of the ways that we outlined above, or, you know, you can do your own research into reputable causes and reputable organizations that will directly get money to people who need it. And
Interrupt you for a second. Another thing that I think you guys should also do is to support local Asian businesses as well, because these businesses have been experiencing the lowest of the lows financially. It'd be great if you guys have the means to support these businesses, such as like ordering takeout or just donations in any way.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Thank you for bringing it up. That is a really good point. Yeah, I think as we had mentioned way earlier too, yeah, it's just one of the most direct ways that you can affect change in your local community to support local Asian-owned businesses. So I think in kind of wrapping up before we get to our last song, there's just so many different ways that you can start to take action, whether it's something more proactive like volunteering. I highly recommend everyone take a bystander intervention training. It's one of the most important things that you can do, and it really gives you the confidence to step in when things are happening right in front of you. Like, that's not always going to be the case, but you never know. So it's just good to prepare yourself. There's so many things that you can do to be a good ally and offer your support, even if you're not financially able to. But of course, that's always an option too.
Exactly. And just want to tell everybody again that equality is not a privilege nor a choice, but a divine right for all human beings. So please take that and remember to be nice to everybody and respect them. Okay, and our last song that we would like to introduce is Radwimps' Is There Still Anything That Love Can Do?
のた打ち回ってる諦めたものと賢いものだけが勝者の時代にどこ で息を吸う支配者も神もどこか他人顔だけど本当は分かってるはず勇気や希望や絆とかの魔法使い道もなく大人は目を背けるそれでもあの日の君が今もまだ僕の全盛期のど真ん中にいる世界が背中を向けてもまだなお立ち向かう君が今もここにいる愛にできることはまだあるかい僕にできることはまだあるかことない意志果たさぬ願いと叶わぬ再会とほどけぬ誤解と降り積もるぞと許し合う声と握りしめ合う手をこの星は今日も抱えて生きてる愛にできることはまだあるかい僕にできることはまだあるかい君がくれた勇気だから君のために使いたい育てたいだから君とじゃなきゃ意味がないんだ愛にできることはまだあるかい僕にできることはまだあるかい答えてよ 尽くしたあまたの映画で語られ尽くしたそんな荒野に生まれ落ちた僕君それでも愛にできることはまだあるよ僕にできることはまだあるよ
This song is also known as 愛にできることはまだあるかい
Yes, and it's from Radwimps' 11th studio album Weathering With You.
Which was also the soundtrack for the 2019 Japanese animated film Weathering With You.
The album's international edition features the English version, Is There Anything That Love Can Do?
Lyrics, When the world turns its back on you, you find a way to stand and fight. Ready to face it all, I see you here, shining bright.
Honestly, those lyrics are exactly what I felt when you just gave us that beautiful quote to wrap up our last section.
Thank you.
Yes, ready. I'm ready to face it all. I'm here. I see you here, shining bright.
I know. This is such a good song. Also, a really good movie, too. Please watch it.
Yeah. I was very emotional during this movie, as I was with... Kimi no Na wa.
Which one did you like more? Did you like Kimi no Na wa or did you like Weathering With You?
I have like stronger associations with Kimi no Na wa because I saw it in theaters and I was like, it was just a whole moment for me. But I like Weathering With You's aesthetics better, I think. How about you?
Yeah, so when Kimi no Na wa came out, I was living in Japan. So that... itself is like a great sentimental value towards me but honestly I like the story of Weathering With You more but either way like these two movies are glorified music videos of Radwimps songs but it's so good and like aesthetically pleasing
Oh, absolutely. And I could not agree more, but I love it.
Yes.
Yes. Well, we have reached the end of our Cultures episode. And I just wanted to thank all of you for listening, as always. But I wanted to thank you specifically, Tassie, for,
thank you.
Yeah, sharing
thank
a lot.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. No, sharing. You just shared so much of your personal experience and, I really enjoyed getting to talk about, the Stop Asian Hate movement with you.
Thank you. And thank you for listening to my accounts as well. And all I hope is that from here on out that everyone joins hand in hand virtually together by making a change in human equality with all races.
Yes. And... I could not agree more. I couldn't say it better myself. So I second wholeheartedly. Yes. Okay. Well, that's going to do it for us. On our next episode, you will hear Ethel and Edward, who will join you in a day from now to feature the popular J-rock band Good Morning America in our April 2021 Artist of the Month episode. So, that will be all from us. Everyone, continue to be compassionate, kind, wear a mask, wash your hands, respect people's boundaries.
Exactly. But yes. Also be safe, too.
Yes, definitely. So, thanks for listening.
Thank you, everybody.
Jane.
Japan Top 10.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.